Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, last time we read Matthew chapter 17.
Sure as fuck did.
Yeah, and in that episode, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain.
He sure as fuck did.
He did. And you may recall it was kind of like getting the Bible band back together.
It was the greatest crossover event in history.
Yeah, it was Moses, Elijah, Jesus,
and God.
All up there with those other, three guys.
Oh, and there was cloudy smoke stuff, so one might say that the Holy Spirit was there as well.
Sure, yeah. So I don't know, I don't know what that was all about, but that was some crazy shit.
I cannot wait to talk about that in our Q&A. I cannot wait.
Which is coming up when?
This episode.
Okay. Yep. So we got this episode and then we got the Q&A after that.
Mm-hmm.
I too am very curious about this get together on top of the mountain.
Because what the fuck?
It really just was a bit much.
It was out of the blue. All of a sudden, we just have the entire... It was just a weird recast. Like, hey, remember those guys?
Right.
From the OT?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know that they were going to pop into the new tea.
The part that bothered me the most, though, was the lack of witnesses.
Right.
Like, they kept it real small. Mm-hmm. Right. So it felt like a branding exercise where they're like, hey, we need to make this bigger. Let's keep this small. We're just gonna say this happened, that happened, these things happened.
Well, apparently those three are like his best bros, and they show up at multiple events with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, the same guys.
I mean, I don't know about you, but like if I had three guys that I trusted the most and I wanted to start a new thing.
A grift.
Anything.
A new grift.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're probably who I would invite to most of the events.
I mean, there are a handful, two or three people that we could trust to keep our grifting secret with us.
Sure. Right. Anyway, that's just my thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was Matthew chapter 17.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're going to be getting into...
Little Maddie chapter 18.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. All right, we are hopping into Little Maddie chapter 18.
Okay.
And we're just going to go in.
Yeah.
Okay? At that time.
Sure. After they were up on the mountain and whatever.
And they came back down. And
yeah. They were running around the mountain probably.
Remember I said that they were coming down the mountain?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, so the rest of the Tucci gang.
Sure.
And asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who?
Yeah, I'm actually curious about this answer.
He called a little child to him. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world.
Okay.
Red and yellow, black or white, they are gorgeous in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Have you heard that song?
I have, but not because I went to church.
What about I believe the children are our future.
That was on the radio.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess.
All the artists got together?
No. This is,
That was We Are the World.
Yeah.
That's right.
Whitney Houston.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Give them a sense of pride.
So anyway, what's Jesus got to say?
He calls a little child to him.
Yeah.
And he places the child among them, the disciples.
Okay.
Tucci gang.
Got it.
That's dangerous, I think.
I mean, whatever. We'll see where this goes.
A group of guys and a little child. I don't know. It just doesn't sound good. Okay, and he said, truly I tell you. Oh, in red ink. So
yeah, Jesus is saying it, obviously.
Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
So you got to be poor and childlike.
And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.
Okay. So if you welcome a child, if you welcome a child in Jesus' name and you're poor, then you'll be all right. Is that what I'm gathering?
We should all have lots of children and we should name them all Jesus.
Right. And unless they're your own family, then you got to ditch them because you got to follow the path of Jesus or whatever.
I guess.
Right? Because like your own family doesn't matter.
Right. Because your real family is your disciples.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your church club.
Yes.
Your own personal Tucci gang.
Right.
Your own personal Tucci gang. All right. Jesus continues. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.
I feel like that's fair because toddlers stumble quite a bit.
Wait, no.
I'm just saying, like, you know, if this is based on stumbling
he's saying that it would be better that you fucking drown for realsies than to trip up a little child, which is a little innocent believer in Jesus.
Sure.
You should fucking drown.
Yeah.
Before you trip them up, you motherfucker.
So they weren't on Epstein Island.
Oh my God. Stop. Then he says, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. I mean, he called Peter a stumbling block.
Mm.
His own bestie.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he called him Satan.
He did.
So.
Get thee behind me.
Right.
I rebuke thee.
Yeah.
Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come.
Okay.
Yeah, woe, Peter. Woe. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away.
So you shouldn't make children stumble, and you shouldn't stumble either. And if you do, then you should cut that thing off.
Cut that thing off and put it back where it came from, or so help me.
I don't
know. No, that's not how that goes. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire.
That's interesting because in the Old Testament, if you were maimed or crippled, you couldn't even go into the temple.
No, that's true.
Which was God's, you know, room or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's a change. Like, I know he's changing things up, but like, here's another change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that was not allowed.
Well, he's not necessarily saying that you can go into the temple, but you can get into heaven. Fuck you while you're living.
That literally makes no sense, though.
Fuck you while you're living, but don't worry about it, because in death you'll be fine. It'll be great, you know? And if your eye causes you to stumble, you know the way your eye always be falling
gouge
out?
Gouge it out. You got to gouge it out.
Your eye always be falling out of your head, and then you trip over it. Because
it sees those honey lip vixens.
It does.
And, you know, that's...
Those bitches.
They'll trip you up every time.
Yeah. Yeah, if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter the life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. I just like how it's like, you're not responsible for yourself, you know?
Right.
You're not, it wasn't my fault, it was my eye did it. My eye was looking over there.
If we're really getting, you know, into the weeds on this, it's your brain causing these things to happen, so you just...
I guess you just stab your brain.
Stab your
brain. Right? Yeah. I mean,
I know they didn't know that back then, because, you know, it's science and stuff.
Right, but that's ultimately where we're going, if we want to get real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, if you are having troublesome thoughts, you should just stab your brain out.
Don't take that advice.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. That was me saying that the Bible said that because the Bible is stupid.
Right.
And don't do that for realsies, though.
Right.
Okay. Because the Bible is wrong.
Bible is so wrong.
Don't chop off your hands either.
Right.
Don't gouge out your eye.
Yeah, there's lots of better ways. There's lots of better ways to help yourself these days.
Mm-hmm.
So many better ways.
Yeah, we don't have to maim ourselves.
No.
All right. He continues in his red ink.
Maybe he shouldn't, though.
I know. Not a fan. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. He's saying all of this in front of a kid.
Yeah.
cut off your hand. It's fine. It's fine. Not really. I'm just being metaphorical, little child.
Who the fuck despises? I mean, do people despise kids? I suppose that must exist, but like, I feel like that's got to be pretty few and far between.
I mean, there most are people that hate kids.
Sure, but even them, they're not going to like, I mean, I
feel like though that they hate them like in a symbolic way, like in a generic over there-ish way.
Right.
Like, you know, when you go out to eat and there's kids that are yelling because their parents won't hush right. them up and, yeah, and you're yeah, like, yeah. God, I hate kids. Sure. And yeah. I wish those people would make their kids
But it's quiet. A lot harder to hate one directly to its face. You know, like
I mean, I don't know. Like, if you're on an airplane and well, you're right in front of a little shit that's kicking your seat, I could hate that kid right to its
sure,
face.
Sure, sure.
But moreover, I would hate its mom.
Right.
Or I said mom, like I'm being so sexist. It might be its dad. I would hate its parent that's allowing that to happen.
Right.
And I said mom because generally speaking, dads are trash and they leave moms to do the parenting. And then mom's tired and she's done. And that's why her kid's a little shit kicking somebody's seat. But still, parenting, get your kids under control. Do not let them kick the seat
right.
on the airplane. Better yet, just don't even take your fucking kid on the airplane.
Yeah.
There's really no reason that kids need to be on airplanes, honestly. Like, I'm just saying, like, why you got to take your kid on the airplane so bad? You know?
Wife has opinions.
I do. Well, okay, I'm just being honest. Like, why do kids need to be on an airplane so bad?
I mean, there's a multitude of reasons. They could be visiting family. They could, you know.
You could drive. You could rent a car. Why do you got to inflict your little ankle biters on everybody else? If you're not going to quiet them down, if you're going to, like, let them kick seats and stuff. And then you're going to be like, there are some societies where we love children and we allow them to run around unattended. And I'm like, this isn't that society, though. This is not that. This is the one where you keep your kid in its seat and quiet. Hush, hush, hush. Do not let kids be kicking seats. Stop it. Stop it.
I'm just letting wife get this out because she apparently needs some words about this.
I had some ideas.
Yeah.
And you would think I didn't have my own kids or something. I did. And you know what I didn't do? You know what I didn't do with my kids? Take them on airplanes.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
So there you have it. Okay. Yeah. Also, if we were in a restaurant and my kids started making noise or fussing, I was like, husband, you need to take this kid out right now. And husband would take the kid outside until the noise stopped.
It's true.
We did not inflict our noisy child on other people.
Right.
By which I mean I sent them out. Problem solved. Problem fucking solved. Okay. Anyway, we're going to learn about some lost sheep now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Still in Red Ink. Jesus still going.
Yeah.
I think I feel so uppity because Jesus is going so much in this one and is making me irritable.
Okay.
He's giving me irritable bowel syndrome. And I just got a shit all over the microphone.
God.
What? See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What?
Wait, what? Their angels in heaven.
Always see the face of my Father in heaven.
So is he saying if they die?
When the kids die, those kids are angels and they get to see Yahweh. My dad.
I'm a little confused here because generally, you know.
Why are we talking about kids dying?
Right. And especially like you're still talking in front of this kid. Like,
like,
is he going, am I going to die, guys?
Like, listen. Like,
what's going
on
here?
Just now when I was saying don't let your kids be kicking the seat in front of people, I wasn't saying go murder that child. Oh, my God. I don't want the kids dead.
Like, I feel like this puts across the wrong message, right? Like,
right?
If every kid, like, can you imagine, like, oh. I don't even want to say it out loud.
What?
Because, like, if every kid goes to heaven and gets to see God's face, then that gives parents or, you know, older people a bad idea.
It does. It does.
Like,
all dogs go to heaven and all kids go to heaven.
Right.
So, I mean, like, are we supposed to make that happen?
That's why.
Enact that?
Then that's not.
I don't think that's
the answer is absolutely
right?
Fucking no.
Let's not, because I think that dogs and kids should stay here alive.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
I don't
either. It's a soft genocide suggestion. I'm not about it. Okay. What do you think, says Jesus, still?
Okay.
If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off?
I mean, are they pinned up, or would you be leaving them to wander away as you walked away to the one?
Okay, I've heard this parable before, and I'm always like, but did you make sure that you, like, did you ask somebody, hey, can you come watch these 99 sheep while I go search for the one?
Right, because...
Or did you be like, hey, I'm going to watch these 99 sheep, can you go search out that one that's missing? God damn it.
Right.
Fucking sheep always
be wandering off. There's a lot of more logical ways to deal with that.
Right.
So, like, I don't really understand...
Look, this gets into the Star Trek, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying let one sheep or one child, like, fall off a cliff because you couldn't go search for it.
But you got to be smart about it, too.
Like, you can't, like, okay, let's say, oh, you were in Boy Scouts, right?
Yeah.
Let's say that your Boy Scout leader took the whole crew out, you know, camping in the woods and shit and hiking and all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And then one of your Boy Scout friends, what is it called when, like, fellow Scout members?
When they what?
Like, your fellow Scout guy. What is he called?
A Scout?
Your fellow Scout? My fellow Scout? Sure. One of your fellow Scout people gets lost, right?
Yeah.
That leader would be irresponsible if he's like, okay, I'm going to go look for the lost one, and all you kids just remain here unattended.
That's not okay.
But that's why they always take two, at least.
Well, yeah, we are always told to use the buddy system.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. There was probably, like, two adults with you, right? I would think.
No.
Really?
Really.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn. You only have one adult?
No adults sometimes.
What?
Like, when we would do, like,
what? The scout camp. What? You were unattended?
When we did the scout camp, yeah.
You were unattended?
Yeah. All the time.
That is irre-fucking-sponsible. Absolutely not. You don't leave kids unattended. How old were you?
I mean, this would have been, like, late middle school, early high school. Like, middle school to early high school.
I mean, it's old enough to be on your own, but I just feel like an adult should be nearby.
I mean, there was lots of adults nearby. It's just that there was it was a large camp. Like, we had places we had to get down to. Like, if you got to an area, like, if you went down to the waterfront, there'd be adults at the waterfront, right? If you went to the lodge, there'd be adults at the lodge. If you went back to base camp, there'd be adults at the base camp.
So adults were around, they just weren't, like, specifically at your tent.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I still don't know how I feel. But if one of the kids got lost, they wouldn't just be like, okay, you're on your own. You gotta go find the
right
one.
No, and yeah, no.
Somebody.
And I feel like it would be organized too. Like, you'd be like, okay, well, these kids need somebody with them, and we need to go find this kid.
Right.
So let's split it up.
So, I mean, I'm not sure what we're getting at here. Like, yes, go find the lost one. Absolutely. But it's not just, to the detriment of the other 99.
Right. He's trying to make some sort of a fucking point here, and, you know, whatever. Although I don't know whether we're supposed to chase the one sheep or not.
Well, okay. He's saying, won't you go look for the one that wandered off? Okay, continues. And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off.
Oh, so he did chase the one sheep and leave the 99 to whatever devices they might have got into, which to me is dumb.
Okay, listen. This gets into the fucking prodigal son story that I fucking hate.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. You're happier with the guy that, like, wandered. You're happier than the one that was well-behaved.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here with that. That is such a bad... That is such a bad lesson. And it made me so angry all my life.
Yeah.
That is not correct.
Right. Well, think about it. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, if you and I decided to convert to Christianity, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, we're atheist podcasters.
Right.
We would be hailed probably way more than we are as atheist podcasters for switching to Christianity.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're the lost sheep. We're the ones that came back. We're the ones.
Yeah.
Not that we were ever there, but, you know, but we would get accolades mm-hmm. for switching sides.
Yeah.
For coming back to the whatever.
Our rewards would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Going into the fold.
Well, there's some incentive to that, too. Right. Because mm-hmm. if we were to switch sides and go back to the fold or whatever.
Right.
Then we're doing it. Publicly, we're doing it with other people of knowledge that we weren't that way, understanding that we're going back to this thing, right? So it has a tendency to grow a group if you if one person goes, they might bring others with them, you know?
Right.
That's all.
Right.
I think that's why there's such celebration for it in general.
The whole thing just irks me. I hate it. So he's saying, we're happy you came back, blah, blah, blah. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish.
Okay.
I don't really know why we're talking about kids so much, though.
This honestly is a very disconnected idea, in my opinion. Like, yeah. There's a lot of flaws with it. There's a lot of, I don't like this.
It's a bad analogy because you don't leave kids unattended.
Right.
And you don't leave sheep unattended.
Not,
and
this whole section is not flowing for me very well.
And you don't be more excited. Like, okay, listen, I can understand that your emotions are on high because, yay, I found the one that was lost.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean, like, you're happier with that one than you were with the 99 that stayed.
It's not what I'm saying.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
Right.
Like, I don't... why are you happier with the one?
I don't think this has anything to do with the person that was found or whatever. Whatever we're alluding to here, right? Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with your own mental take on the situation, right? Mm-hmm. You were able to find that one sheep, that one person, and bring them back to the flock, bring them back to the group, right? And you have done something miraculous. You were able to recover somebody or something. And
so this is
so
about...
It's your high that you're having, not this... Like, it's you feeling good that you were able to do this, accomplish this thing.
So this is about the personal responsibility of each Christian or whatever follower of Jesus to go out and save somebody and bring them back to...
Probably.
Is that what we're saying that this is?
That's definitely a take that I'm sure you could get from this.
So. And the 99 were already there, so that's why...
Right.
It's not very exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the incentive to stay then? Sounds to me like if I really want your love, that I should leave and then come back.
Well, I think that lends to the idea that most people are naturally, it's easier for them to follow. You know, it's easier
because they're
for them
sheep.
Yeah.
They're children and sheep.
The metaphor isn't far from the reality. You know.
Jesus, this is so like tragic. All right, he continues. If your brother or sister's sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Okay, so if, like, me and you are hanging out, right?
Yeah.
And you're sinning.
Right.
I should come and tell you, hey, bro, you are sinning. Okay? Between me and you, you're sinning, and that's not cool.
Okay.
If they listen to you, you have won them over. Yay, we both win.
All right.
Stop sinning.
Got it.
And you're like, fine.
Sure.
We both won.
Well, what happens if I don't?
Okay, but if they will not listen, then take one or two others along so that, quote, every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses.
Oh, for fuck's sake. This is so now we're doing interventions for sinners?
Yes.
Okay.
So I should then go get a couple of other people, and then we should be like, hey, remember when I told you that you're sinning? And you're like, yeah. Well, now us two or three or four are here to tell you, stop sinning.
Right.
And then you're like, but still no. If I told you no, what makes you think that ganging up on me is going to make me change my mind?
Right.
Like, right. How about mind your own fucking business?
Sure.
It's between me and God. I'll figure my own shit out.
Right.
Remember how you came up to me, not vice versa? Get out my pants. Like, right? Because, I mean, let's be honest, that's what sin always is about, your pants.
I mean, not
it's almost always about your pants.
Either that or murder.
It's more often about your pants than it is about murder.
Well.
They care so much about pants. Why do they care about pants so much?
I don't know.
All right, listen. If that guy, like, if they still refuse to listen.
Yeah.
Tell it to the church.
Oh.
You're going to out them socially.
We're still saying
what?
Church. So this is definitely post-Jesus died.
Yeah, yeah. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector.
Wow. Wait, I thought we were supposed to accept tax collectors and stuff. I mean, because Matthew, right?
Not really.
Not, okay.
Only sometimes, but not in this story.
Only if they stop being a tax collector?
Yeah.
You have to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. See, get him.
All right.
Look at that sinner sinning. He keeps sinning. He's got pants.
This chapter is bothering me.
I don't like it. It's bossy and gross.
It is. Yeah.
Truly, I tell you, continues Jesus.
Okay.
Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Okay.
Sure. I don't know what that means. This whole chapter is a Q&A.
Yeah.
Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Where? If
two of you agree?
Sure.
Okay, okay.
For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them.
So if two or three, if we just decided that we're gathering in Jesus' name and we say that we're a church, and then, I have heard people, so like this, there's a lot of like house churches, right? Yeah. Like house group gatherings.
Yeah, because you don't
claim church-ish type things.
Yeah.
And this is where this is coming
from. That's where that came from. Yeah.
Interesting. Because I like that. That's kind of cool.
That is cool because, like, it's like, don't forget to concentrate on why we're here, which is to learn about Jesus and not to, like, worry about the band and paying rent and collecting funds and diddling kids. And
sure. But I will say this, too, especially in this day and age, that idea of two or three people serving as a church if they're all gathered in Jesus' name, then they will be represented in heaven or whatever the case may be, is a little, it allows for some cultish behavior and it allows for some different version. It allows for a lot of different versions of Christianity because you don't have to have consensus. You just have to have two or three people.
Yeah.
That's no wonder they're so fucking splintered.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we don't need you. We said we only need two or three people, so fuck off.
Right.
We're going alone.
And why not? Because we all get to go to heaven.
Right.
All dogs go to heaven.
There's at least three of us, so we're good.
Yep. This church and that church and those churches.
Right.
Fuck all the buildings.
Those churches with just two people, though, they're a little bit like, oh, we need to get this number
up. We need a third. That's so funny. All right. Then Peter came to Jesus.
Okay.
Simon called Peter.
Sure. Called Satan.
Who's also Satan.
Right.
Rocky.
Yeah.
That guy came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? That's
fair.
You done fucked me up seven times. Eight times is out. Right out.
I'm guessing the answer is countless.
Jesus answered in red ink, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times.
So 77.
Mm.
That's a direct pull from the Old Testament, early on in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
There was that guy that, what was it? There was something about 77. I can't remember what it is now. But,
I remember that. Yeah. No, it's true. It's like,
seven you see what and you did 77 were both in the Old Testament. Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right.
Therefore, continued Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. I feel like Jesus is getting like real long-winded and being a blowhard here.
Yeah.
He's tooting his own horn, and I feel like he's blowing smoke up his own ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very like suddenly wordy nonsense.
Right.
And it wasn't like this before, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt.
Mm.
At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. That was nice.
Sure.
But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, I will pay it back. But he refused. Mm. He had just been forgiven like $10,000 trillion of debt, and he couldn't even let $100 go.
Right.
What a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an asshole. I don't think he should go to heaven.
We're going to find out, though.
Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt.
How are you supposed to raise money if you're in prison?
How? I don't understand. Jeez. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called a servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?"
Wait a second. Servants had servants?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. So he's like, "Never mind. Your debt is still on. Give me my 10,000 whatevers."
Okay.
"This is how my heavenly father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
So the answer in a very roundabout way was, yes, just continue to forgive them no matter what.
Yeah.
I
pass it on.
Look, I'm all for forgiving people. I am. But sometimes it's too much.
Listen, this is what it's supposed to be. He's saying God is forgiving all of your huge, gigantic debts, all of them, okay, right? If you repent and take me as your savior and believe all these other things that we haven't got to yet,
sure.
This is what the Christians will say. The deal is God is forgiving all of your big things. Therefore, shouldn't you be like the guy that forgives the smaller things, which everything on earth is small?
In comparison, sure.
Right. And right? I get that is such a beautiful sentiment and I love it. But having said that, I'm not saying that I have retribution in my heart, but what does it mean to forgive and what does it mean to
And what are forget? The actual guidelines?
You right. Know, like, what does forgive mean?
This is too broad.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too broad.
Yeah.
There are definitely things that I would not forgive and I wouldn't feel bad for not forgiving.
And here's the thing, like, there's like people who say, like, you know, you don't forgive for the person who harmed you. You forgive so that it's not eating you up alive anymore.
Sure.
And I think that we're just using that word too loosey-goosey. There are things that have been done unto me that I've like dealt with and I put aside. That doesn't mean that I forgive that person for what they did to me.
Right.
I'm not allowing it to like poison my soul anymore. I'm not like having nightmares over it anymore. I'm not crying over it anymore. I've moved on. I've, you know, gone to counseling and therapy and I've dealt with the things that occurred.
Sure.
But I don't forgive that person.
Right.
Like and I'm not going to, and I don't feel bad about it. And I resent being told that I should.
Right. And I think that's the dangerous part. Right?
Like, yeah.
This is a religion telling people that you always forgive. And it's not for you to not forgive. That's God's judgment to make.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but no, it's absolutely not. That is my judgment to make.
Right.
It's my thing that I have to deal with. You can fuck right off with that.
Yeah. I'm living as a good person. I'm not seeking retribution on the person that harmed me.
Sure.
I'm not going after them. Like, I'm not even thinking about them until this comes up and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, but whether I forgive them or not is my choice.
Yeah.
And it's going to remain my choice because that's not anybody else's decision to make.
Right.
So, and I don't see the harm in that. In so far, as long as you're doing it in a healthy manner and,
sure,
you know, not letting it fester inside of you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So. I'm just like, no, what we need is better counseling.
Yeah.
We need better mental health options. And we live in 2026 where that could be an option and it's not.
Right.
And that's what we need. Not these people saying, just forgive and be forgiven and everything's gravy. No, that's not the way it works.
Right. Right.
Because conversely, I can forgive somebody and still be hurt by what they did and not healed over it.
And you know what I mean? Yeah, and I think that's what I'm not liking about these things is that
it's not nuanced.
These Jesus thoughts, these ideas that he's presenting are very much couched in black and white ideas that are way too simplistic, way too easy to misconstrue and weaponize and or not weaponize, whatever. Like mm-hmm. you could take any of these ideas and do so many different things with them that it basically is worthless knowledge.
Well, yeah, and then we get people that take advantage of it that are like, you have to forgive me because so we've got parents that are being abusive to their children and saying to their children, but I'm your parent, you have to respect me, and we are all Christians, and if you want to be a good Christian, you have to forgive me. And therefore, I've just granted myself permission to continue doing whatever nasty deed I'm doing.
Well, let's look. I mean, even Trump weaponizes the forgiveness thing.
Yeah.
Right? Trump weaponizes forgiving. And anytime that he fucks up in the eyes of his followers, mm-hmm. he starts this big religious, like, group prayer, having people forgive him
thing. The laying on of hands as he signs.
This is so fucking messed up.
Yeah.
And it's right there. It's right here in this book, and you can be he can be forgiven a million times, and Jesus and God are apparently okay with that.
I mean, I feel like if God is real, he understands your heart and would know that you're just speaking empty words. But I also feel like if God was real, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Also, if God was real and believed in signs, I feel like the flaking paint and the algae growth and the reflecting pool is a big sign that God doesn't like Trump.
Okay. Ghostbusters reference in 3, 2, 1. It's a sign, all right. Sign we're going out of business.
All right. I think, do we have anything else or is that it?
Oh, I'm sorry. The end. The end.
Okay.
That was the end of that chapter.
All right. So I didn't like that chapter.
It was bullshit. And
it was boring.
Jesus can go suck his own dick, honestly.
Sure. I mean, you know, whatever floats his boat.
Forgiveness is good, but like the Dixie Chick said, I'm not sure I could. You know? All right. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
You are singish tonight, aren't you?
I'm still mad as hell. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was Matthew chapter 18.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that next time we'll be back with...
a Q&A. Who knows if it's Saturday? Probably it not. Won't it be. Won't be.
No.
But
yeah.
I felt like singing it anyway.
There you go. All right. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.